And the mayor of Portland in Oregon raked Donald Trump over the coals for their rioting. We're going to get thoughts about that and also about Joe Biden changing his gopher hole strategy from the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi. Stay tuned for that, if you would. And is Trump's messaging really resonating with some blacks? Are there blacks that are coming over to vote for him? We're going to discuss that. I think you're going to find that very interesting. And by the way, in our ultimate top 10, this is going to be one of my favorites. The top 10 greatest gangster movies of all time. What is your favorite gangster movie? Let's see if Ed knows what is rated by the American Film Institute. By the way, we are sponsored in part by the best barbershop in Tampa Bay for men, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. It's in the Overcash Plaza. It is just north of Main Street, Dunedin, on Overcash Drive. Dial 727-733-3773 and set up your appointment, you guys. You'll get the best haircut in town. All right, well, the rioting continues, does it not? And particularly in Portland, and now people are shooting back, and you knew that was coming. You know, eventually, when all of these people are tearing down businesses, you knew somebody was going to get shot on the other side. I'm almost surprised more people haven't been shot on the other side, because they're very upset about these people that come stomping in at night with all kinds of tools and weapons and just start taking apart businesses one by one. And I was listening to the mayor of Portland. I could not believe him for the things that he was saying. They've had over 2 months of rioting, over 2 months of straight rioting every night. I'm surprised there's any buildings left in Portland. It used to be a nice town. I'm kind of afraid to see what the panorama would be there now. But President Trump is not welcomed in Portland, and he's not welcomed in Kenosha, Wisconsin either. At least not if you're asking Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers. Now, Evers is a Democrat. He's been critical of Trump. And now he's urging the president not to show up in Kenosha. Oh, that'll help. Nothing like telling the president of the United States not to go around the country showing up at places when there's trouble. Would he also tell him not to show up after a hurricane? I don't think so. Here's what he said. I, along with other community leaders who have reached out, I always like that term, we've reached out. What does that mean? We've reached out. They use words, big, you know, big termed words. We've reached out. How about I, along with other community leaders who have talked to him or something like that. Anyway, we're concerned about what your presence will mean for Kenosha. He sent this in a letter. He says, I am concerned your presence will only hinder our healing. I am concerned your presence will only delay our work to overcome division. What's he doing in the governor's office in Madison, Wisconsin, to overcome the trouble and to start the healing? I would like to know. The only way you're going to overcome the trouble, quite frankly, is to have a presence there that will stop the people that will go there and do it when you allow them to. If you give them a green light, they will go through the intersection. And that's what's happening. And most people know that. And this guy in Portland, the mayor of Portland, I cannot believe after 2 months he hasn't been ejected from office. Remember he went out and he stood in front of all those protesters? And he was trying to say, I'm one of you, I'm one of you, and they started yelling at him, told him to get away. I mean, that's what happens when these kinds of things happen. Everybody gets burned when there's a fire. Everybody gets burned, and that's what's happening. Wheeler denounced Trump yesterday after the president attacked Wheeler's leadership and claimed that Wheeler was to blame for the escalating unrest in the city. But then Wheeler said this, "It's you who have created the hate and the division," meaning Trump. "It's you who have not found a way to say the names of black people killed by police officers, even as people in law enforcement have. And it's you who claimed that white supremacists are good people." He never said that. He has never said white supremacists are good people. But I guess if you repeat a lie often enough, some people will believe it. So the mayor of Portland knows that that's not true. He also knows that President Trump has indeed mentioned the black people whose lives were taken with police. He's mentioned them. Why does the mayor of Portland say these things? Because he's been so liberal all his political life, and he's boxed himself into a corner. And somehow he thinks he's going to survive the vote, because even though his city has gone to hell in a handbasket, somehow the people of Portland will forgive him and vote him back in again. You know, there are plenty of liberals, Mayor, that can take your place in Portland. And if you don't do something about all of that violence, I don't care how liberal the people are, they're going to reject you.
Is this an election year for him?
I don't know. That's a good question. It better not be.
Well, it would make sense because he's blaming everybody but himself.
Yeah. Did you see any of that? I mean, it was so ridiculous.
On the weekend, I tried to take off.
I don't blame
from the
you.
News.
It's a good idea.
Tired of it.
That's a very good idea. He certainly has not. I mean, with 60 days, a five-year-old would figure out some way to stop
you
this.
You have to recognize those people that are not protesting. The people that are rioting, they're not there to lower, because they want lower taxes. They're not there for Black Lives Matter. They're there for their own agenda. So you have to deal with it the way it is.
Yeah, and there's a good point when they say during the day, you'll have the protesters. During the night, you'll have the rioters.
And that's what I said. Protesting and rioting is day and night. Protesters
literally
during the day, little rioters are at night.
Exactly.
And now they're using fireworks, which is dangerous because now you don't know which one's bullets and which ones are fireworks.
You know, this is playing into Donald Trump's hands. It's just playing into his hands. And no matter how the media try to spin it, and they've gone after that guy that came into town in Kenosha and killed two people.
Yeah.
As they, and that guy, of course, he's a murderer, and you gotta get him, and they have. And hopefully he'll get the full extent of the law. But you know this kind of thing's going to happen. And businesses, if I was a businessman, somebody came crashing through my front door and I had a gun, I'd shoot him.
Well, absolutely. I mean, your business could be treated just like your home.
Exactly. It is. It's your property.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, your life is at stake when somebody comes crashing through your front door. So it's crazy. Anyway, we are going to change topics a little bit, but it still has to do with politics, because we're going to talk with Ilya Shapiro of the Cato Institute about how the pandemic is changing the methods and the ways that we will vote in November.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Well, all I want is a party doll. Come along with me when I'm feeling wild. To be ever loving.
We are back. And delighted to have Ilya Shapiro join us. Ilya is director of the Robert A. Levy Center for Constitutional Studies at the Great Cato Institute. We're going to talk a little bit about a piece that he has penned about election regulations during this pandemic and the changes that need to be made. Welcome to Freedom Works, Ilya. Hello?
Yes, good to be with
there
you.
There you are. Okay, I'm sorry. We probably muted you. Thanks, Ilya. And this is really a topic that we are interested in, I think. Everybody is. Because during this virus, we've had to change not only our way of life and, you know, the way we go to the stores, but in November, it could indeed affect the election. It could affect who becomes president because of how we're going to have to deal with it. So so you talked a little bit about this, and I noticed that you have mentioned, you know, the mail-in voting. A lot of states are doing mail-in voting already, but there's this question about the integrity in some of the states that are picking the ball up right now. So do you think overall that the states, each state is going to handle this kind of situation as best they can? What are some of the pitfalls you foresee?
Yeah, I mean, I think most of the problems have nothing to do with, you know, left-wing or right-wing bias or anything nefarious. I think we're going to see an unprecedented volume of mailed-in ballots. And it's not a problem for the Postal Service. That was a canard. That was a fake battle that we had. The Postal Service delivers, you know, hundreds of millions, billions of pieces of mail every year. They can handle a few more ballots. But the real issue, the state authorities and the local poll workers that are going to have to be doing these counts, are they prepared for new standards that might be in place, the volume of the ballots that are coming in? Will this be done? Probably not by, you know, the end of Election Day. I mean, get ready for election week in the sense of the ballots are still going to be tabulated. Again, without anything necessarily nefarious going on, and even if people are competent, but just the new process, the new procedures, and the volume are going to perhaps cause people to think that bad things are going on. So, you know, it's almost too late to be talking about this. We're a little over 2 months before the election. I mean, I think the most important thing is for election authorities in every state and the media to get the message out exactly what the processes are going to be.
I wonder if they should even consider changing their voting status in these states that have not had mail-in voting, because you know trouble is going to occur when you're all of a sudden rushing to get it in. Shouldn't they wait, perhaps, start working on mail-in voting for the next time around, you know, in 2 years or something?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, if the states have not changed, they shouldn't, because that the likelihood of confusion or something going wrong is probably greater than the benefit from having more options. A lot of states have We have to distinguish them. You know, in my analysis, I say that it's bad practice, like what California is doing, and sending ballots to everybody who's registered. Those can get lost. People have moved. Who knows what's going on? My state in Virginia, there's a very open absentee process. So if you declare that you're absent because of commuting or work or this year COVID, and you send in that application, then they'll send you a ballot. That's a pretty good process, and a lot of states now have that. But if they haven't changed it at this point, the last day of August, then they certainly shouldn't be changing it 2 months before the election.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I'm thinking about social distancing at the polls, where if we can social distance at stores, you know, your food stores and everything else, they figured that out. Wear a mask, you know, and they've got the... Here in Florida, for instance, at some of the stores, you actually can go down one aisle one way, you know, and all of that. So you're not going by anybody.
Hopefully they will have those delineations and designations. It might be difficult in some polling places. I know there's talk of moving to larger polling places so you can have more space. I think LeBron James is trying to, of all people, is trying to get things moved into, like, high school football stadiums, right, and things like that, which, again, is great, but that should have all been done, you know, months ago, and plans for that to be in place so people don't show up at a polling place that's no longer a polling place. And as well, we have had primaries all year. The most controversial one probably in Wisconsin back at the very beginning of the pandemic at the end of March. And apparently there wasn't after that an uptick in COVID, perhaps because of distancing, perhaps because the line was outside rather than indoors. So I think all of these best practices need to be taken into account.
We're talking with Ilya Shapiro. He is director of the Robert A. Levy Center for Constitutional Studies at the Cato Institute. We're talking about election regulations in all these different states leading up to the November election. Ilya, what do you think about Donald Trump's comments about mail-in voting and absentee voting? Should he just keep his mouth shut and let the governors figure it out? What do you think?
I think a lot of politicians are muddying the waters, and at a time when confidence in our institutions is falling, regardless of what anyone's politics are, sowing that kind of mistrust further isn't good for the electoral process. And again, Donald Trump is not alone. And there's also some confusion about just absentee mailed ballots versus, as I said, what California and some states are doing, just automatic mailing to addresses, even if someone hasn't requested it. So there are problems, and I go into some detail in my analysis about what a better practice might be. And I think elected officials from Trump all the way down to local county election registrars and what have you really need to be on message about what everyone needs to do for your vote to be counted if you decide that you do want to vote.
You know, in California, unless something really... it's there that we don't know about. It's probably going to go for Biden. It's a blue state. So no matter what they do with the mail-in balloting, and I, God forbid, when you've got, 30 million people living there? Can you imagine getting all of them exactly? I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean,
that's not going to work.
For California, the concern is more on some congressional races where the Democrats in 2018 did flip a lot of Republican House seats, and so there's going to be some tension there. A lot of these kind of issues that make the national political debate on TV and what have you, you're precisely right. They come out of very blue or very red states where, on a statewide level, it's probably not going to make much of a difference one way or another. So. That's another thing about this. We make it into a big deal where the problems that might happen, again, are just in counting ballots and getting that count final. And, you know, we might not have a winner of the presidential or in a number of senator or House seats on that election day.
You know, the more I think about it, the more I think we ought to just go to the polls. Now, I live in a state, Florida. We have done it for years, and I've always thought it's probably very fair and accurate. And what happened originally was you request a ballot, and then every time you get the ballot, you know, every 2 years when we vote here on something, there's a little checkbox on the envelope. Do you want to continue voting mail-in? And you send it in. So now I've always thought that that's a good thing, and it's probably working out okay. But then I began to think about the transfer of votes by different people, the hands that are literally, you know, the trip that my ballot is taking and how many people it goes through. And, you know, every time it goes through one more person, you kind of worry about it. And that's, I begin to think, if I went to the polls and I voted and I came out and dropped it in that little wooden box, wouldn't the next one that touched it be a poll a poll regulator, a counter, you know?
I think that's right. And for that matter, you can, you know, get your mailed ballot and you don't have to mail it back. You can just drop it at the polling location. They have the designated sites where you can drop off your ballot, things like that. So, but people who if you want to vote, you know, make sure you think about what you're doing, know where your polling location is, double check that in case they're moving it and what the rules are and when early voting is, if that's available in your state or county. You know, so much of this is just voter confidence and voter information. So, I think a lot of people are going to distrust results on either side just because they don't know what's going on. And there's new processes and a lack of transparency this weird year.
Again, we're talking with Ilya Shapiro from the Cato Institute. Ilya, do you think, in your role as a director for constitutional studies, do you think to some extent our system, I don't know, with all that's going on right now, it seems like there's a real upheaval. We're coming closer to a constitutional crisis of some kind, I think, than we
have been to. There's a difference between a constitutional crisis and a political one.
I'm talking about a constitutional one. I want to know what you
think. That would have to entail, one branch of government not following what the disobeying the Supreme Court, or we haven't really seen that yet. And I don't see, you know, if the president refuses to leave office, or if
that would be one, but. The way people are just, I guess maybe you're right. It's not so political, though, but when the rioting occurs like it does, and I remember the rioting back in 68, you know, in major cities as well. But for some reason, this one, it just seems like the least little spark sets off an entire situation. I'm beginning to wonder about, our government's, you know, ability to deal with it.
Well, I think you're right. There's definitely a lot of tension around, and so sparks set off things. In a lot of places, the governors and mayors prefer to let the riots burn themselves out. To quote, I forget who it was, the mayor of Portland or something like that. In response, the federal government, the White House, is talking about perhaps. Federalizing the National Guard or sending in the troops, the Insurrection Act, as it were. So I think there is government breakdown, both in terms of what they're actually doing and how they're communicating the different messages. A failure of leadership in different parts in a very tense situation. And that there are parallels to 68, but there are things that are different. And the instantaneous spread of information, whether on social media or the internet or otherwise. That's a little different too. So something that happens in Kenosha, Wisconsin, can lead to rioting in Florida or Portland or what have you. That's something new, and it's unsettling.
Indeed, it is. Ilya, it's a real pleasure to have talked with you. Very, very, very important topic. Thank you so much.
Good to talk to you. And I actually have a book coming out.
Oh, tell us about it. Tell us about it.
Supreme Disorder, Judicial Nominations, and the Politics of America's Highest Court. So nothing too controversial, but it's available for pre-order, and I make the offer if you order my book and send me your address, I'm happy to send a signed book plate. So there you go.
Okay, so in other words, people can go to the cato.org website, and can they find
Amazon,
go to
other
Amazon.
Places online where you can, you know, as of September 22nd, it's going to be in bookstores, but otherwise your online book buyers.
Give us the name of your book again.
Yep, it's Supreme Disorder, Judicial Nominations, and the Politics of America's Highest Court.
Okay, everybody remember Supreme Disorder when you go to Amazon. All right, Ilya, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Take care.
All right. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk with the proprietor of the barber pole about all this trouble with rioting and the fact that Joe Biden, is he changing his gopher hole strategy now? Is he coming out?
It's time to stay behind. All I wanted was to hold you. All I wanted was to touch you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's
733-3773. It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. And by the way, Freedom Works, we are here Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. We follow Good Morning Clearwater. Great show. I hope you listen to Good Morning Clearwater. It's always fun with Paul and Tracy. But right after that, on Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, listen to us. And if you can't listen live, go over to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. Big Ed sets up all our shows on podcast, ourfreedomworks.com. Well, Joe Biden is popping out of the gopher hole, apparently, and he's going to be making his tour. In fact, he may even go to Kenosha, Wisconsin, if he can find it on a map. I think this is wonderful. We'll get a chance to hear from him. He should take the mask off when he talks. Even then, when he takes the mask off and talks, kind of hard to understand, but it'll be a little bit easier. So we've got the proprietor of the barber pole. You don't need no stinking mask on him when he talks. How are you, my friend?
Paul, I'm living the dream. Paul, how are you doing?
We're doing very, very good. So Joe Biden is finally coming out of his gopher hole.
Hey,
yeah.
He's going to Pennsylvania today to talk about Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Well, you see,
why would you go to Pennsylvania
because
to talk
it's
about
close.
Kenosha? You got to go to Kenosha to talk about Kenosha.
Well, of course, but it's close by, you see. He doesn't want to get too far from his gopher hole. That's what I'm beginning to think about.
You know, Paul, he's got to come out of the gopher hole because the people are fed up with them not saying anything about Antifa, Black Lives Matter, the riot, the crime that's going
that's
on.
That's right.
Not a word about it.
That's
you
why he's going.
Hey, did you try what's going all over the computer right now where you push in Antifa.com and see what happens?
Does my computer explode or what? Or is it taking
a Well, it should. It
type
should
in,
explode
type it in,
because
Paul.
it goes right to Biden's
Oh, it
website.
Does? No kidding.
Right through his website. No kidding.
You're are you talking about
Antifa.
Google?
Antifa.com. Pardon?
No, right in the address bar.
Really?
Antifa.com. Yeah.
And it goes to Biden's website. I
Biden's how, donation page.
Isn't that interesting? While I'm talking to you, I'm going to try that. That's very strange.
Oh, yes, it is. And that's why they're not talking about it, because the Democrats are backing it, Paul. Look at
wow.
The Democrats. Did you see that dumb rear-ended mayor in Portland trying to blame the 90 days of violence on President Trump?
Yes, indeed. We were talking about it right at the start of the show. It was almost unbelievable. It was almost like a parallel universe that that guy would talk with a straight face after over 60 days? Which the skyline must not be there anymore. I'm beginning to worry about it. I think
Well, you know, Paul, no, it's been going on 90 days in Portland, right? What did it go on in Kenosha? 2 days? And then they requested the National Guard from the president, and what happened?
It stopped.
It was all, you didn't hear nothing about him, did you?
Correct.
It's all over.
No, you're right. Know? Yeah?
Yeah, okay. So what's the mayor's and the governor's problem in Portland, Paul? The problem is they think that this is going to go against Trump. And even hear Biden's campaign manager saying, well, you know, with all the violence and the rioting going on, they're blaming it all on Trump. I said, you know what? Like I told you before, in 68, Richard Nixon won because of all the violence and the riots going on.
I just did the... You're right. It goes to Biden-Harris. What's going on with this?
Yeah, what do you think of that, Paul?
That's kind of
proof. That's proof right there that they're backing them.
Yeah, well, we knew that he was being backed by them anyway. That's not a surprise.
Well, what do you think about the Senator Rand Paul getting attacked that night at the convention?
Wait a second. I'm watching Biden caress a woman here. Let me just watch it for just a okay. Now
you
I
know, we did a search on that just to be sure, and Antifa.com was created in 2002. Recently updated August 19th to direct to Biden.com, JoeBiden.com. So it was done by them. It wasn't some 17-year-old in a basement somewhere messing around.
Don't they think, I mean, the Democratic Party really think that that's going to help them? If you type in Antifa.com and it goes to the Democratic Party, if people see that, like, they're going to react like we do, I think. This is crazy.
Paul, it's going all over the internet. I'm surprised you haven't seen it.
I have not. Well, I've never typed in Antifa.com.
As a matter of fact, your protege sitting next to you is the one who started promoting it yesterday.
Oh, who's that?
Well, I saw it. I saw it like last week, but I didn't want to.
Oh.
I didn't want to put it out there just in case it was a joke or it was maliciously done. So it's been up for what, 12, 13 days, 14 days? And you'd think somebody in the Biden campaign would take it down if it was false.
Right. Yeah, but you would think, I would, if I was in the Biden campaign, I'd get rid of that. You don't want the connection to Antifa. Antifa is a dark, brooding, scary group of people. Do they not understand that in the Democratic Party? Are they trying to really align themselves? Or is that...
The bigger question is, why aren't they separating themselves?
So you don't think that this has been hijacked
no.
by some nefarious...
No, okay. no. Because if it was hijacked or something like that, within a day or so, it would have been... It's like if you went to Tantalk1340.com and it went to iHeartRadio, Lola would be screaming her head off and I'd be out there changing it, or John would be changing it within the hour.
Although it would be kind of interesting to watch, but you're right. No, you're right.
The thing is that they're not separating themselves from it.
True.
You know, Paul, Biden had to come out of the closet because... If he didn't,
we better not say
down.
It that way, because now everyone's going to think he's a little.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I don't want to confuse people. They might think he's got other things going on.
That's what.
But
I
anyway,
meant. Okay.
I mean, he's got enough going on.
He does.
They're probably going to have to keep that mask on him when he's talking, because they got probably have somebody dubbing in the words and talking for him behind him. This way, if they didn't have the mask,
I thought that'd be a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can have him talking a speech of 40 years ago.
Yeah, you know,
they can do it now, that's all.
Well, not only that, you know, with computers and everything, you could get any voice you want. How about some guy, you know, with a great, like Cary Grant? I'd love to hear a voice of Cary Grant come out of Joe Biden. Now, that would be good. I really think that you ought to vote for him. You know, that would be very interesting. If he keeps the mask on. Anyway, go ahead.
The more I see things going on and going on, and I'm saying Trump's going to landslide it big time, Paul.
Okay, now, that brings me to a story that I was going to talk about a little bit later. The question of whether there really are black people that are starting to think that they might vote for Donald Trump. Now, for a while, I didn't think it was going to be that big of a change. Let me find this story. But now I'm beginning to think that you're onto something, my friend, because you have been talking about a large turnout of blacks for Donald Trump. And if I can find the story here.
He went up 9 points.
He's gone up 8 or 9 points. That's right. That's what I was going to say. And I can't seem to find the doggone story. But indeed, he has gone up Oh, here it is. This is from a Kimberly Classic. She's a black GOP House candidate, and she says they're definitely listening to Trump's message, and it is resonating. And she made the comment that, indeed, his numbers are going up 8 or 9 points in the black community. So I'm beginning to think that there are some people in that community that are starting to listen.
Paul, people are starting to listen all over the place. And you know what? You can see it. I hear people talking about all the sports that are going on right now, Paul. Let me tell you something. I talk with people all the time, and you know this, and I can tell you this. People are not even watching the sport game. The only one I know watching is Ed. But other than Ed, you know, everybody's talking. They're not watching. They're fed up with the sports.
I think they are to some extent.
Yeah, they're fed up with this stuff. And this is what's making me think that that Trump is going to landslide it even more than I could imagine. And, you know, you see a couple people with Biden signs in front of their houses. And I can tell you this. I have a lot of people, Paul, coming to my shop looking for the Trump signs, the Trump bumper stickers. These people aren't afraid to put them on no more, and they want people to know that they're voting for Trump. They're not afraid of it. They're coming out, buddy.
Yeah, more and more they are. Now, I've been watching some of this video with, you know, couples walking down the street, maybe leaving the convention like they did, like Ron Paul did, the Republican convention, or leaving a restaurant and being surrounded by... I'm telling you, when you see... You know, honest, hardworking people being surrounded by these people in masks and screamed at. I don't know how the Democratic Party cannot understand that people are going to be so upset with that it will motivate them to vote for Trump even more.
Did you see Friday night what happened in Pasco County, Paul?
Tell us about it.
Oh, they didn't put it on the news at all, did they? But Pasco County... I believe it was last Friday night, there was about 100, 150 Antifa Black Lives Matters people showed up. Unfortunately, they were met with the bikers.
Oh, no kidding.
The bikers showed up, and just the residents alone, man, and forced them out.
And so I suspect that when Antifa meets bikers, everybody's glad handing each other, patting each other on the back, and it's a love fest.
I can tell you I got the video of it on my phone.
Oh, my
goodness. If you stop by this week, I'll show it to you.
Oh, I do want to see that.
Oh, yeah, they rolled them right out. They said, we got news for you. This is in Minnesota.
Holy cow. No, I did not hear about that. So,
well, of course you don't. Isn't it amazing they don't put it on the news or anything, Paul?
Yeah. I have a particular bone to pick all the time with the Tampa Bay Times, but I'm not surprised. It was like that boating extravaganza for Donald Trump that got not one word in their Sunday edition. By the way, they had to apologize profusely. And to their credit, in their Wednesday edition of the paper, the entire editorial page, I think, was devoted to the mea culpa, because how they avoided talking about what might be the greatest collection of boats all in one place ever, you know? Anyway, go ahead.
Hey, you don't have to worry about the Tampa Times or whatever it's called. Now, they're going under.
Yeah,
two newspapers a week? Come on.
I know.
I'm curious to know what their circulation is. 500?
Yeah.
It's not allowed in my barbershop no more. I bought the paper every morning for 55 years.
You did. It was always
there.
Yes, I remember
always
that.
Always there, not no more.
Yeah. It really was. You know, in a way, I'm sad, even though it's... Totally biased.
Reading the paper.
Yeah, exactly. So, any final words? Trump is probably going to go to Kenosha.
Oh yeah, he's going tomorrow, and the governor says, "Please don't show up. We don't want you here. This and that. We're afraid you're going to divide our state even more." What is
there
wrong
you go.
With these people?
Yeah, I know.
These governors, you know, they need to be manured. That's what they need to bring the manure cannons in these cities. I've been saying this for a week and a half. You want a non-lethal weapon? You want to break up all this rioting? Bring in the manure cannons. You ever seen one used, Paul?
I have not, and I would not like to be in front of one, but I can imagine what would happen.
Well, the manure cannon will shoot sludge manure for almost 100 yards, and it goes back and forth at like a 50-yard spread, buddy.
Wow.
And all they need to do is put this at these people, shoot it at them, and then you know what? They're all going to take off, believe me. And then all they got to do is hose the city streets down. There's no big mess, no nothing.
But you don't understand, Andrew. These protesters are already full of manure. It's not going to make any difference.
This will do a number, believe me. They won't be able to walk in their parents' basement. They'll throw them out.
Well, I look forward to seeing you later this week, my friend. I also look forward to talking with you again tomorrow.
You got it, Paul. You have a good day.
You
buddy.
Too. Thank you.
Trump be with you.
Thank you. All right, there he goes, the master barber. Wow. So much going on right now. We're going to take our final break, and when we come back, among other things, in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 greatest gangster movies of all time.
You sure got it. Oh, honey, honey. You are my candy girl, and you got me wanting you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment here on the last day of August. Man, this month has gone by fast. I watch C-SPAN. Those of you that listen to our program on a regular basis know I have mentioned that I watch their program in the morning, Washington Journal, because I like to hear what different people have to think and say that call in. But C-SPAN has changed their phone lines recently after an overwhelming number of Democratic viewers would call in and express their support for Donald Trump. And they would say, I've had it. I've been a Democrat all my life. Words to that effect. Now I'm going to, because of what's going on, I'm voting for Trump, that kind of thing. So due to the increasing nature of these calls, the network adjusted their phone lines to encompass those who, quote, support Trump and, quote, support Biden. So that way, if you're a Democrat, you'd call in on the support Trump line. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't know that you're a Democrat, now, unless you said something like that. But that's very interesting, mm-hmm. because I've always suspected that that C-SPAN is biased towards the liberal side. And that's just the way, the nature of the beast in the media. You want to say something, Ed?
No, I was just going to say that it's pretty obvious that they are.
Yeah.
I mean,
at C-SPAN.
Most of them are. I mean,
yeah, most of them really are.
I mean,
so
some farther than the other, you know.
And then they claimed at C-SPAN that they do that after every convention, that they change it to support, you know, president or support his opponent.
Mm-hmm.
But they changed it before the Trump, the Republican convention. They changed it before.
Mm.
Before, in prior elections, they changed it after both conventions. So that was a little different. Right away, they changed it. Very interesting. Okay, now, For those of you that follow college basketball, sad to report that John Thompson, the legendary Georgetown basketball coach, is dead. He was 78 years old. He made the Hall of Fame. If you remember Patrick Ewing, Ed, I'm sure you remember 7 foot tall Patrick Ewing.
A lot of guys came out of great ball players came out of his school and his tutelage.
Exactly right, and he was known for his help for blacks and their tutelage is exactly right, making sure that they got an education. He was drafted in 1964 in the third round by the Boston Celtics. Did you know he played in the NBA?
Yeah, I remember that.
His career lasted only about 2 years. But he put together as a college basketball team some of the strongest Georgetown teams of all time. Mm-hmm. And in 1984, they won it all. And they actually made it back in 85, but lost to Villanova in what some consider to be the greatest college playoff game ever played.
Right.
So a moment for John Thompson. Okay.
Hey, one other sports moment there that, you know, all the baseball teams this weekend wore number 42 in honor of Jackie Robinson. Well, I don't know if you ever saw the movie 42.
I do remember. Go ahead. Okay. I know about the actor.
The actor Chadwick Boseman.
Yes.
You know, he passed away.
Yes. It was a shock.
And how ironic it was. I was watching the Rays on Friday night. Game was over. And I thought, to see him 42. I think I'm going to pop in that movie because it's such a great movie. I watched it and I woke up the next morning, Saturday morning, to find out he passed away. Friday night was just eerie. I mean,
that had to be a shock to you.
Yeah, I was like, no way. I just watched such, probably top three, in my mind, top three sports movies of all time. You know, Rudy's up there or, Invincible,
And did you say he was only, 43?
43. I think he was.
43?
Yeah.
And he had a colon cancer.
Yeah, didn't let anybody know.
And
or very few people knew. He knew he was getting treatment, but it was kind of like, it's just some treatment for some,
Yeah, and I understand that. First of all, it's nobody's business if he's getting the treatment.
Right.
Second of all, it might have affected his ability to get work. There are good reasons for not saying anything about it. If you can work during the treatments, God love you.
Yeah.
Such
a loss because he was such a great actor. Great. That movie, I love watching that movie.
Did you think
so well done.
Did he come off as Jackie Robinson?
Yeah, and because in watching some of the extras that the people that helped make the movie, sometimes Hollywood could spin it a different way. But the ones that, were around that time said it was very, very, very close.
Wow.
Very close.
I'm going to have to look for that movie because...
outstanding movie.
Okay. All right. Well, it is time for speaking about movies, Ed, it is time for another top 10 in movies. And I've been doing a lot of them, but I find these things extremely interesting. This is the American Film Institute, which is a highly regarded organization, and they've come up with these different top 10s, and among them, the top 10 greatest gangster movies. I want to see if Ed knows what's...
I got mine.
Okay. Yeah, he looks like he's pretty confident.
They just celebrated 30 years.
Well, I'm not going to say anything. We'll find out about it, all right? Let's go. Number 10, Scarface.
Oh, of course.
And this is the 1983 version of Scarface. Who was that with?
Al Pacino.
Yes.
Tony Montana.
He did a good job in that movie. Yeah. I agree with him. All right, number 9. Little Caesar. Now, that was Edward G. Robinson. It was his breakthrough role, 1931. He plays Caesar, an Italian mobster.
I had school that day it came out.
You did. Okay. Number 8, The Public Enemy. This was a movie that helped make James Cagney a big star. It came out in 1931. It's quite the movie. It even holds up today as kind of scary when you see it. I mean that. Number 7. Pulp Fiction. You remember seeing that?
I've never sat through an entire showing of that. I've watched it, got bored, but I've never seen the whole movie.
John Travolta and that black actor, what is his name?
Oh, I know.
You know who I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
He is in a million movies, that black actor. It's really something to see. All right, number six. The original Scarface, Paul Muni, 1932. You know who also starred in that one?
No.
Boris Karloff. No. Yeah. He could have played Scarface, but he didn't. It was Paul Muni. All right, number five. Bonnie and Clyde. Did you see that?
Probably as a kid, yeah.
Yeah. Did you like it?
By the way, Samuel Jackson was the guy we were looking
for. That's right, Samuel Jackson. Warren Beatty, Faye Dunaway, and Bonnie and Clyde. Did you like that movie? Do you remember?
I guess so. I don't know.
You remember. Oh, you don't remember. Okay, number four. You want to talk about a scary movie and a scary man in this? White Heat. I've seen that on TV a million times. Came out in 49, and it was James Cagney in probably the scariest role he's ever done as a crazed killer and a mama's boy. Combination. Okay, number three. The Godfather Part Two. The Godfather Part Two. You remember that second movie?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And that came out in 1974. That was where De Niro was playing the young Vito Corleone.
Yeah.
All right. Number two. Goodfellas.
Oh, no.
That was the one you thought was going to be number one, didn't
All right.
you?
I got to back up.
But Goodfellas could have been a number one movie. Okay. It was really well done.
Yep.
And Robert De Niro, speaking of him, starred in that one, too. And didn't Joe Pesci star?
Yeah, Joe Pesci was in there, yeah.
And what was the name of that other one? He was younger than those two. I can't think of it. I don't see him as much on TV anymore.
Mm.
Anyway, all right. All right, Ed.
All right.
What do you think is the number one greatest gangster movie ever made?
Pretty much the same actors that was in come on.
Are you thinking Godfather 2?
No.
Okay.
What was number two?
Number
Goodfellas.
Number two was Goodfellas.
So pretty much the same actors as in Goodfellas. I can't believe my mind went blank.
All right.
I got Biden syndrome. it's catchy. It's not. The Rona's not catchy.
Yeah, Biden syndrome. It might be catchy. You're right.
All right. I'm going to go with Casino, which has got the same actors.
Okay. Casino. All right. Here we go. Ed, what are you thinking? It's The Godfather.
Oh, come on.
Of course it's The Godfather.
No.
It's the greatest gangster movie, in my opinion, that was ever made, 1972. How you missed that one is absolutely beyond me. You really dropped the ball.
You can't tell me that one of your talkie flicks from the 20s
72.
Beats out 72. Casino.
72.
I want my money back. That's it.
Freedom Works. We'll be back tomorrow. Bye.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
Sunday, the Rays were looking for a sweep of the Miami Marlins in Miami, and they got off to a great start.
The 1-1 pitch, and Wendell lifts this one to deep right field. Backing up on it is Britson to the warning track, turns around, and it's gone! Joey Wendell with a leadoff home run, and he starts this Sunday fun day with his second home run of the season. Hits 1-0 Rays right away.
Tampa Bay hit a pair of homers in the first to take a 3-0 lead and didn't look back from there.
Pitch to Kiermaier on its way. Swing and a fly ball to right field, and this is deep. Britson going back at the track, looks up and it's gone. Kevin Kiermaier tees off on a two-run home run, and the route is on in Miami. It's 12-1 Rays.
Kevin Kiermaier with the last of four home runs for the Rays. They go on to win 12-7. They've taken five straight and visit the Yankees in New York.